The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Hey grandkids, welcome to another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. This is the not-so-special 201st episode. I'm here with Dusty. How you doing, Dusty?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I got my first piece of political propaganda in the mail today, urging me to vote for some schmuck for state senate, so...
Wow, you are a lucky ducky. There is no shortage of propaganda in the swing state that is called Ohio.
Oh, yeah. That's tooth and nail, man.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, pretty much since Romney was named the official Republican nominee, it's been game on. We've been getting ads since then, so I don't know when that was exactly, but it feels like it was a year ago at this juncture.
Okay, yeah. Romney probably feels safe in Wisconsin because of Ryan, but Ohio is definitely up for grabs.
Yeah, although I think I saw today that supposedly Obama was up by 8 here in the state, which is kind of surprising.
Wow.
Because they did vote in because they had a Republican, we have a Republican governor now, and he got voted in a couple of years ago. So it was a little surprising. I mean, it's pretty much swung every time I've been here, I've been here. Because, yeah, I've voted 4 times now in Ohio, I guess. Is it every 4 years? Yeah, so it'd be 3 years because it's been 13 years, so.
Okay.
And I think the governorship is swung, like, done the pendulum, Republican, Democrat, Republican. So we'll, I figured the presidential race would favor that this year, but that doesn't seem to be the case so far. But there's plenty of time going on here.
Now, am I imagining things, or did I once hear / read that Ohio picks the presidential winner every single time?
Oh, you know what? I do not know.
I believe that's the folklore, that every person who wins Ohio wins the election.
Yeah.
Someone can fact check me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's Ohio. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, maybe I can pop that up here in a second.
So you guys are finicky, but smart, I guess.
Yeah, evidently.
Finicky like a cat. I don't know what I'm talking about, sorry.
Oh, well, they are pretty finicky.
They are.
Okie dokie. Oh, no, that's not what I was looking for. Oh, well, I'm not going to try to look for that right now. It just takes
whatever. We got lots of stuff out to talk about here today.
Yeah, well, it really, as far as I'm concerned, that is a perfectly fine introduction to some of the new territory that we may be covering in this fine podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So,
new stuff on the horizon. The game is afoot.
Yes, it is. I've so been wanting to use that word, drats, for your for you busting it out first. I can't really use it a second time.
Well, you could. Whatever. Who cares? No one's listening anyway.
Yeah, no. I guess last week, and I don't know, was it you that jokingly said that if we hung around for another 200 episodes. We'd just be an entertainment podcast. It's just like, I didn't think about it that much then, but then, like, I think I went to bed and I'm like, why isn't that I was like, that's a good idea. Like, why the fuck are we waiting around to do this?
Yeah, you jumped on it the next day. I remember that. I meant it, but I didn't really mean it, but I'm all for embracing it. That's for sure. You know?
Yeah, so that's why I was just sitting there, and I threw the question to Jeremy since I usually talk to him I am him first thing in the morning. And it's just like, well, what do you think about sending out an email? He goes, do it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And it was on from there. We had the longest email chain that we've probably had in quite some time.
Yeah, I can't believe Eric and Jeremy actually participated in something.
Yeah, and well, Eric's participation certainly didn't just end there. You guys already have an episode in the can, the kids might say.
And the can is an appropriate place to put it, too. But no, we're trying something. We're trying something new here and see if it sticks. I know Alvarez is big on conspiracy theories as well. He's chasing his tail out in Washington. So, you know, this seems to be the trend of things.
Yeah, well, and if we want to stay in the wrestling neighborhood, Jesse Ventura certainly likes his fair share of conspiracy theories.
Absolutely. And he's a guy I respect a great deal. He might not always be right, but he's searching for the truth. So you got to respect him for that. Because the one thing I can tell you for sure is that the government doesn't always tell you the truth. So, you know, so good for Jesse trying to find some actual truth nuggets out there in the world. So, yeah, I mean, that was kind of the gist of it. I'm a big conspiracy guy. I don't believe in every single thing. As I hinted at a little bit earlier, I think Bigfoot is a big pile of stupid shit and couldn't possibly exist. But some conspiracies intrigue me a great deal, and me and Eric just did one. So that will see the light of day soon, I'm sure. And I'm very excited about it.
I don't know why, but I have some... I love all of the creature conspiracies, like Bigfoot.
Okay.
But I don't think that Bigfoot exists.
I always thought it was funny that only one person ever sees Bigfoot at a time. There's never a group of people that can point to it and say, yeah, I saw that guy too, you know. So it's just one schmuck with a shitty camera taking blurry pictures, you know. So.
Yeah, and just with the technology that we have today, like for body heat and stuff like that, and I've seen so many different shows now trying to like show something. It's just like, come on, like you had to have covered the territory at this point, right?
Yeah, right. Totally.
I'm sorry, there's just too many people on around too just to not catch that in some way, shape, or form.
Right. But what else are you into? Like Loch Ness Monster, that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. Always liked the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay.
And I didn't know about it until recently, I suppose, but the whole Chupacabra thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know. I guess I just kind of like weird and odd creatures because I'm always, like, one of my favorite creatures is a duck-billed platypus.
Nice. That's awesome.
So it's just, like, one of those things that's just, like, I don't know, just animal things generally fascinate me.
Okay.
Because,
I'm sure we'll touch some of those. Loch Ness fascinates me, so we'll probably get to that one.
No, I'd have to probably brush up a little bit, but I know that I've definitely seen a special sometime recently on Discovery Channel about it.
Sure, absolutely. I'm a purveyor of anything odd, whether it's a creature or a rumor or you know, some kind of mystery. I'm all for that kind of stuff. So that's just the way my pea-sized brain functions. So.
Excellent. And I guess the other topic that was pretty much also unanimously gone for is that there will definitely not be any lacking for wrestling content still at the site too, which needs to be said.
I would say there's as much wrestling content as people want, you know. we'll still give them their fair share, you know. So.
I was fairly happy today that I could add some content that it was the first piece of content of paraphernalia that had to do with the wrestler that I've enjoyed in quite a while. Like, I really dig Jeff Hardy designing his own T-shirt. But those Macho Man Jordans are pretty badass.
Yeah, they look awesome, man. How much are those supposed to be?
Think something in the 140 range or something like that.
Okay. Okay.
So, I don't know. I guess that's somewhat reasonable for those types of shoes. I just bought a new pair of trail running shoes, and I spent a whopping $70, I think.
Woo! Big spender. Get out of here.
Yeah, no, I love PSW, so. But, yeah, I just can't see spending double on those sneakers.
Right, exactly.
Despite their bad acidness.
right. They're expecting you to dish out large sums of fundage for the badassery of it. But, I don't know, I just can't afford it, for one thing. And even if I could afford it, I don't think I'd do it. It's not prudent, you know? But
I don't need to be killed for sneakers. Like, that's perfectly okay.
Right.
I end up going to
ROH. Yeah, like,
I'm
pretty sure I'm going to die soon anyway. I don't need to hurry my death along with a nice pair of shoes, you know?
Oh, man, yeah. Those stores are always crazy, too. Gee, mini Christmas. And, I was glad to see Nike not completely screw the pooch on this one. They do come through with some good designs every now and again.
Absolutely.
I've had a hard time with them ever since they bought Bauer hockey equipment, and as far as I was concerned, they completely screwed up their style. So,
to be completely honest with you, I can't really wear Nikes because they don't fit me right. I got a long, wide foot, and I find that Reeboks fit me better. So.
Gotcha.
Yep. No.
I'm an Adidas fan too, so we'll leave that one to lay
nice.
There.
Yeah. So what are you watching, by the way? Because we had to wait for a commercial break in order to go on the air. So tell me about what you're watching while we're in the middle of things.
Oh well, I was. It's one of those. It's No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain.
Okay.
And it's his, he's been doing a travel show for ages, honestly, at this point.
Yeah.
I think he started on the Food Network with a cook's tour. And he basically did the same move to, moved to the Travel Channel and started doing an hour show instead of a half hour show.
Gotcha.
And I read his first book. He just came out with a graphic novel that I was debating getting. But I still love this show. Like, to me, this also is the one, I love HD nature. Like, I'd like to go out and do that stuff, you know, when I can. But watching it live is, or not live, watching it on TV is pretty badass.
Sure, yeah.
So getting to see all these places that they go to in HD is pretty sweet to start with.
Okay.
And I just, he always goes to some good food spots. And I don't know, I'm kind of a junkie at this point. I do a bunch of cooking myself, so I really enjoy, you know, going out and having something good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it really doesn't help. This episode in particular, he is in Emilia-Romagna, a part of the northern part of Italy.
Gotcha.
It's kind of in between Florence and Venice. So it's kind of a bit of a no man's land as far as, like, large cities go. But they have Parmesan Reggiano's from the area, prosciutto, mortadella, like a bunch of really good Italian foods are from that region. So,
nice.
Despite the fact that it was on my DVR, I just couldn't stop from watching it until it got to commercial.
Right. It's really gripping you. So, no, that's cool.
Yeah, no,
okay.
That's one, another thing. Like, when I went over there for school, I honestly said to myself, I'm like, I could really live over here. Like, I could retire after whatever I get done doing here and just live over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty nice joint over there.
Sure.
I just like the things that are a lot more laid back. As much as I like being able to do shit right now, if I'm ready to knock off or something, it'd be good to just sit back and do a whole lot of shit and nothing.
Right. Well, isn't that the point of retirement?
Yeah. A lot of people...
Like, don't fucking kill yourself while you're retired.
Yeah, well, that's the... I always fear that my dad is just like, no, always got something to do.
Yeah.
Can't sit back and just enjoy doing nothing.
Right. No, I can't relate to that. When I retire, I want to forget this crazy world, you know?
Yeah, no, I hope that I can get to that, but who knows? We'll find out when we get there. Hopefully that.
Right on. You got a few years yet.
So. Yep.
Well, so while we're on the topic of you, there's another piece of news we can use involving you and your personal situation.
It was hilarious. Like, my girlfriend has been watching Raw with me now probably for the last 4 months. We've been dating for about 5, so I didn't torture her the first month.
Eased her into it, yeah.
Yeah, she came, well, and she's just like, she decided, she's like, nah, fuck it, I'll watch it with you, and I'm like, okay, like, I'm warning you, it's terrible. I am giving you a heads up, and they're expanding to 3 hours. Like, I'm not sure if she's only done I'm trying to think if she's only, yeah, she's seen some 2-hour shows.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just really hilarious. I'm trying to do the column, the almost live and definitely half-assed review of WWE Raw, and she just starts going off about how they don't have enough depth and that it's a crock of shit that John Cena is fighting CM Punk again.
Yeah.
And that nobody is... Oh, and that nobody has gone. She's like, I've been watching this for, well, she said 5 months, but I like I said, I make it 4. She's like, no one has gone anywhere on this roster except for your boy Dolph Ziggler. He's the only one that has moved up and or down in the roster. She was like, everything is exactly the same as it was.
Stasis. And that's because no one develops character. You're just, you're where you are, and that's it. So.
Yeah, no, it was just hilarious to have her completely going off about stuff that I wouldn't say that it took us a bunch of years to figure out, but it's just hilarious that someone who, you know, hasn't really watched wrestling ever in her life, within 4 months has caught on to why wrestling is not doing well in a four-month span.
Yeah. The funny thing is, it seems obvious to us and completely not obvious to the people writing the shows. They seem to have no idea that that's a problem. And that's the frustrating part to me. They're not going to change anything. This is what's going to be for the foreseeable future. So, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, no, no one's, like, really, there isn't a league that you're like, oh, well, maybe they'll give them a run for their money.
Yeah.
Despite TNA's maybe at least minor interest at the current moment, they're not doing anything to threaten the WWE.
Right.
And everybody else after that, just doesn't even have a shot in hell anyway.
None. No chance. Just
like,
no chance at all.
Yeah, as much as I enjoy Prime Wrestling, it's just in no position to, you know, get the WWE to, you know, book like a bunch of level-headed people.
Right. I mean, it's a nice side thing, but WWE probably doesn't even know they exist, basically, you know? McMahon has no idea. His stooges probably do, but he doesn't. So it's not even in the area code of making a dent, and as unfortunate as that is, that's just reality. And WWE probably sees ROH as a total joke. So...
Yeah, no, and there's no reason for them not to not to think that.
Yeah, pretty much.
But we can get to that that one a little bit later.
That's called foreshadowing. That's what that is. So.
Yeah, we're sharp like that.
They use that in books and such. So.
Oh man. Well, and I'm not sure if there's anything else really to add to that story. I just thought, you know, well, like you said, like it's even obvious to someone who hasn't been watching very long that it's just
right.
That
I find
boring.
That fascinating that she just figured it out that quick. That's the problem. That's what we're suffering through and have been for I don't know how the fuck long. Just stasis. It's everything is the same. Everybody is a hamster on a treadmill. Look at what happened with The Miz. He fell off the treadmill. He's not even on it anymore, you know?
Yeah, that poor guy had to take the loss to Ryback, who I can't believe how, like, I love the Skip Sheffield character, and they are just really forcing this one, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
But then I sit there and I say that, and then I couldn't believe how much of the Albany crowd was chanting, "Feed me more."
Right. Yeah, that was pretty shocking.
Yeah, and their crowd is an overall whole. Like, I was kind of surprised. I have not ever thought of Albany as a raucous crowd. I always think Dallas and Chicago are 1-2
exactly.
Or 1A and 1B on my list usually.
Exactly.
So yeah, like I was kind of surprised. Like they were just, I thought they were very vocal as a whole. which was surprising. And then them winning that, and that finisher, it kills me every time.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he doesn't use a power finisher.
Right. Thank you. It's the easiest thing in the world, except they didn't think of it. Once again.
Yeah. You know, I don't even care if he pulls off a Davey Boy Smith and just goes to the running power slam. Oh, my gosh.
I'm all for old school shit like that. Got nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and, I mean, they talk up his strength so much, it would just logically make sense. It's just like, hey, he can put so much power into this thing, it's not like someone normally doing it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, right.
It's
already
an easy write-off, too.
Mm-hmm. No, that's perfect. I like it.
Yeah. Poor Miz, though. Like, and I...
yeah.
Well, there are some things that I don't know. I guess I think he's still cutting good promos.
Sure.
And that matters way more than anything in ring. So, like, I don't understand how he's at this juncture, honestly.
Well, they just can't think of anything, you know? When they run out of stuff for you to do, they stop trying. You know? And that's it. It would not surprise me if he gets fired just because they don't know what they're doing, you know? I would not be shocked at all if he's the next person fired.
Either that or he's ends up in the mold of Jack Swagger. I'm going to go home to regroup.
Yeah, that's absolutely a possibility.
Unfortunately, he already had time to regroup, which was, I'm filming a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And yet for some...
movies are great, by the way.
What?
Classics.
Oh, yeah, the WWE movies are fantastic.
They are, they really are.
I couldn't believe, Jeremy told me that they were making a second 12 rounds.
What? Okay.
Yeah, I was like, you're joking, right? And he goes, no. He's like, you didn't see the news? And then I think he sent me the link to it. I don't know how we didn't end up talking about it.
Yeah.
But I was just like, oh my gosh, like that thing, the first one was terrible.
I know.
Because that was one of the few movies I've seen from the WWE.
Yeah. It's not pleasant, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of the appropriate headline. WWE goes 12 rounds with sanity. There you go. There we go.
Oh, yeah. Well, they certainly don't have any of their sanity left.
Right.
Oh, crap. Well, yeah. I guess we could talk about something. Well, and I was just trying to figure out a decent segue, and I was just bumbling nowhere.
Oh, there is no segue. No.
Yeah, well, there was actually, at least to me, there was something good on Monday. And to me, it involved... despite the retread of the events, I would have to put CM Punk, Paul Heyman, Mick Foley, and John Cena in my good club for this week.
Okay.
Was between those four, was there any particular highlight or low light for you?
I hate Mick Foley, so every time he does something, it's a low light. Even if it's good, it's a low light. But I fucking loved Punk and Heyman together. I liked how it started. I liked them throughout the show. Those two really click together, and it's really entertaining and fun. It almost makes wrestling fun again to have those two together. So,
yeah, they're quite the power couple, and they're doing a good job of, and they're not having Paul Heyman overspeak for CM Punk.
Exactly.
And to me, that is the big get on that one. Most of these times, they let even recently with Dolph Ziggler, my boy there, for some reason or another, they've dialed up Vicky again a little bit more, and it's just like, no, you're getting him to the right point. What the shit are you doing?
Right.
Let him handle the majority of the mic work, and she just gets to chime in.
Mm-hmm.
And the other nice thing about the Punk Heyman segments is that when you do have 15 minutes, it's kind of nice to have a third person in there.
Absolutely.
So, like, they're not, like, overdosing on any one person in that in those skits.
That's the trap you always fall into with those 15 to 20-minute segments. Hardly anyone can carry that by themselves. They keep doing them because Austin and Rock could, but Austin and Rock aren't walking through that door, you know? So adding Heyman to the mix, yeah, perfect. Takes some of the burden off of Punk and adds to the act. I think you nailed it.
And I mean, I think that's the thing, too, is that, I don't know, even though, well, Punk could do it, but they're doing it so well, though, I like it even better than if Punk was, I would like both versions, but with both of them kind of killing it, there's no reason to change this.
Why make Punk do it on his own if he doesn't have to? Why not add that element? So.
Yeah, and it also does a good job, at least it should subliminally, kind of remind everyone of Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
Since that's how Heyman got reintroduced, because you know that there's not a chance in hell that they're actually done using him. So.
Right.
He can tout until his face turns blue, but you know that he's going to be back at some point.
He'll be back, yeah. So it keeps him fresh without always mentioning his name. So that's a positive for sure.
Yeah.
So what did you make of the Foley involvement?
Kind of surprised that he pretty much just went straight. Like I kind of dug that out of him. Like he used to pull out some good promos. Like I kind of forget that sometimes, but then I was reminded when I went to go see his comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
The guy can tell a story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he just, he had a nice, slightly different perspective than Cena, even though, Punk, rightfully called him out on it being basically the same thing. But, you know, he would always verbalize things different than John Cena ever would.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of helps to have that. And plus, he's a he's more vulnerable. That's what I'm going for. Like, if you couldn't really have The Rock or Austin deliver that promo, and
right.
have them just look at CM Punk like a bit of a bitch, which is something else that helps with Foley, is he can do sheepish pretty well, and plus because he was never, you know, kind of the giant physical muscle man, it also works, I think, to have him play that part.
I'll say, when he goes understated, there's not many better than him. I hate the over-the-top, laughy, jokey Mick Foley because he's not funny when he does that. But
right.
the understated sheepdog, no one does that better. So.
Yeah, so, and I guess that's
two faces of Foley.
They're doing a good job storytelling, I think, but the fans still aren't really buying it much. But they're having Punk continually pick on figures that should be sympathetic, like the referee just making one mistake. AJ, who's so much smaller in stature, like no matter what her job title should cover, you know, she seems vulnerable. Bret Hart was another one.
Right.
Because
Bret Hart can draw sympathy from the heavy-set Tom Petty lookalikes in the world. So, just throwing that out there. But,
that is outstanding. I never would have thought of that.
I don't know. It was the first thing that came to my mind the last time I saw him. I'm just like God whispering in my ear, that guy looks like Tom Petty. Oh, okay. So,
yeah, I definitely wouldn't have started laughing pretty much immediately when you said that if I didn't think about it. Like, I'm not looking at a picture of Bret Hart and going, oh, yeah, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even the wispy hair kind of, even though it's blonde to black, like, now that the Hitman doesn't grease it up quite as much, it kind of has a little more volume to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Never would have thunk of that.
Excellent.
Never would have thunk of that one. Oh, man. Well,
I'm glad you mentioned, by the way, real quick, you mentioned the referee thing at the beginning. I'm glad you mentioned that because that's an example of timely humor on WWE's part. That was a good job by them to tie in the NFL correlation like that. I'm actually kind of proud of them. They, you know, it was current and timely and actually, you know, poignant. So...
Yeah, no, the only thing I was wondering is if he thinks he's, like, sticking it to the NFL, like he's getting something over on
him. Of course.
It's just like, dude, you're embarrassing yourself. They're still making way more billions of dollars than you are.
Right. Yeah, the NFL wins that every time, even with horrible officiating turning the games into a joke, you know, they win. They'll always beat wrestling, so that's just the way it is.
Well, we talked about three quarters of the of that topic there. I guess the one last part of that equation we didn't talk about is John Cena, as Mr. Morella might say. You know, I need to keep the Italian theme going since I talked about it for no reservations.
Indeed, the theme of the show, yes.
It's just a big theme for me all week here.
Yeah, okay. I'm just so sick of him, you know? Sick of him. He's got, like, real go-away heat for me, you know? And it's hard to come back from that. And just every time I see that guy's face, I want to choke somebody, you know?
Yeah, no, I can certainly understand those sentiments. I don't want to strangle anybody when I see him, but
no,
I wouldn't blame you for doing it either.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you.
No, I mean, I do like it, and I thought he stayed fairly serious, too, so, I mean, I thought that was kind of nice.
Yeah,
but,
right.
It's
again,
funny.
That's when he's better, is when he stays the fuck serious and stops making stupid jokes all the time. So I got to hand it to him for that.
Yeah, but this injury is just kind of like his pec injury. It's just like, can we just really, dude, just take 6 weeks off?
Yes.
And we were just talking about how my girlfriend was pointing out that no one's been elevated.
Right.
Okay, you're stuck with a bad hand. CM Punk was supposed to fight John Cena one last big battle in Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that. Hey, you know what? Survivor Series is just around the bend. You'll be healed up.
Yep.
Why don't we take a month off here?
There you go.
We'll do it at the bigger pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Get to conclude the feud, and CM Punk gets to maybe give somebody a rub for a month.
There you go. And the other match gets more build-up, more time to build it up, make it more important. Not that hard.
No. No, it really isn't. So, yeah, he might not have go-away heat with me, but this is one of those perfect escapes for him to, you know, get off camera for a little bit.
Absolutely.
Recharge, and the guy has a legitimate damned injury, along with the fact that he fucked up his ankle the week before that.
Mm-hmm.
Take some time off, dude. Just do it.
Seriously. Yeah.
It'll be good for everyone involved.
It's cliche to say this, but he's becoming the same type of suffocating that Hulk Hogan was. You know?
Yeah.
Where the show has to just be him, you know?
Yeah, no, and I mean, I guess that's the other funny thing is that even with him only actually in the final segment. He's still just there. They were talking about him all night. They were showing his LeBron, the decision coming up soon.
Yeah.
Stay
tuned. Coming up. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, even when he's not, like, actually in the show, it's just like, dude.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's exactly my point. He's everywhere even when he's nowhere. So, and it's suffocating. And it takes away from my enjoyment of the show, you know, really. So.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I think, where the hell would I put that? I'm trying to, oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I can go a little backwards here. One of our other topics there, which at least I can maybe tangent off of AJ Lee there. Is she maybe what you call a babyface general manager?
I would maybe call her that. On her best
there
day.
Sure. Was definitely a another babyface manager, general manager that you wanted to talk about in a different league. There.
Who could it be now? You mean Jim Cornette?
Yes, one Jim Cornette. What say you about your former
former hero?
Yeah, your former hero.
Well, here's the thing. Seems to me every decision he makes goes out of the way to favor the baby faces and stack the odds against the plucky, determined underdog heel. In other words, the exact opposite of everything I knew about wrestling growing up, you know? It's counterintuitive booking. And it's weird because it's every bit as bad in a different way than the heel general manager cheating for the heel. So this makes him a bit of a hypocrite, you know? I don't know how else to frame it. It appears hypocritical because he was very outspoken and very right about how bad the trend towards heel general managers was. But now he's kind of doing it himself the other way around. So.
Yeah, no, it's been... and his involvement... And I don't even get how, like, Kevin Steen is supposed to be this giant terror to Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
But since he's become champion...
Mm-hmm.
All the guy has done is defend his title belt against
right.
challengers.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't done anything to live up to the billing of being evil himself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So it's just that combined with a babyface general manager does nobody any favors.
No. Right.
That's the part that's really head-scratching to me. It's just like, this, the storyline is just, on top of the fact that it's kind of like, yeah, the anti, yeah, version of, yeah, the dictatorial GM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes even less sense in a way.
Right.
Yeah,
it's counterintuitive. Baby faces should not act that way. That's not anything near what I learned a baby face to be. So I don't get it. I don't understand the logic of it.
Yeah, and then I guess the other thing that's bad about it is that you have, it's their champion, and
mm-hmm.
he's mainly feuding currently
yeah.
with the general manager.
Yeah.
So you can't say, hey, keep him off of television. Like, it's not really an option at this point.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, so painted into a corner. And then, I can't even believe it, because they're showing the, they've been showing, the last 2 weeks, they've shown the Road Rage edition of Ring of Honor, which is just so, just the planning around that company is just mind-numbingly terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how to describe that. Like, they only have, like, 3 weeks in between pay-per-views. And
right.
then they've used two consecutive weeks on a pay-per-view that aired last month.
Right. What sense is that?
Yeah, none, as far as I know.
Right.
So, I don't, I always try to find something to build on.
Sure.
But, you know, there's nothing to build on with that one.
No. It doesn't appear as if they know what they're doing. No.
now, and that was another one that was pretty bad. The girl looks at me and she goes, "Really, do we have to watch Ring of Honor right now?"
Oh.
I'm like, I need to get rid of some stuff here off the DVR before we travel. So I was like, yeah, I kind of have to watch this now.
You can just cruise through it, you know? It's a pretty breezy show, if anything.
Yeah, no, I did go through, because there was a four-man match that that I was like, okay, yeah, I think I can fast-forward through this.
Right.
So I did save her a good 10 minutes there, so that that at least helps make up for things, I think.
There you go.
I don't know, is there anything more to say about how just backwards that is?
I think it just needed to be pointed out. It's another little thing that has me scratching my head about ROH. I wish ROH was doing a lot better than what they're doing, because we really need an alternative like them, but they keep making mistakes. So I don't know what else to do with it.
Yeah, and with only an hour of TV time, you know, you can't really, and I mean, that's the other thing, like, as much as the WWE has an oversaturation, you know, they could use another half an hour or something like that. Like, they have enough people on their roster that they could do either an hour and a half show or just a second 30-minute show sometime during the week. Because just enough, like the WWE, they don't get enough guys on TV, but that's because they choose not to put them there for some reason or another.
Yeah.
Ring of Honor just simply does not have the screen time to be able to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, an hour's not enough. If they could find another half hour to an hour somewhere, that'd be nice. Get more character development and such.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Mm.
not you, but I was just trying to get back to the little thing. Oh, because, well, you mentioned hour, and I did realize that I believe we're getting close to the hour mark here.
Yeah, so let's wrap this body up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just going to scrap topic number 5. We're going to go ahead and just do a short little ditty on it.
Yeah, quick little thing.
Okie dokie. Well, number 5, I don't know, did you get a chance to watch Impact Wrestling this week?
I try not to. Tell me what I missed.
Well, the thing that seemed a little off to me is... well, they ended up having Jeff Hardy win the Bound for Glory series.
Yeah.
And Austin Aries went from a heel, and he kept most of his tendencies, but he definitely went babyface.
Okay.
You know, I think there's definitely been a change in his character.
Yeah.
Well, after, like, having the title belt on him for 2 months, they're pushing him back towards the heel area because they decided to have Jeff Hardy win the Bound for Glory series instead of, oh, you know, someone logical in the heel department like Bubba Ray.
There you go.
Or I'm trying to think of who the other guy was in the series, because I know it was Storm, Jeff Hardy, Bully Ray, and, wow, I am really just scratching my head on who the other
Well, whatever.
Was.
We'll
but,
just say Bully. Bully would have been a pretty good choice.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. So it's just, I don't get the point of making the guy a babyface and then turning him back in the other direction. Like, even if he walks the line well, like Shawn Michaels did in his build-up, in both of his build-ups, really, to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that it's a good plan to keep him there in that department.
Well, my thought was maybe they're going to keep going back and forth with him, and he'll just go against the entire roster. That's my thought. Maybe they like him because he's versatile, and they'll use him wherever he fits in, wherever their fancy suits. I don't know, you know.
Just gotcha. Yeah, no, I mean, I guess that would be a quite the compliment to him if they decided to do things that way. And they're not always great with their subtlety, but if they do push him here and there, like, that really wouldn't be a bad way to go.
Sure. It'd be interesting, something different. You know, you don't always have to stick to the black and white, like a certain bearded New Yorker once taught us. So,
Yes, for all of his faults, he did have some decent ideas.
Exactly.
That's all I got on that one.
Yeah, that's it. Just bring it up. Scrape the surface. And a shout-out to Callie, who responded to our posting pre-show about the news you can use. Callie is a loyal listener, so props to you, my friend.
Yes. And you know what? Considering that we were just talking about that last one, let's go ahead and read his response here for the Aries thing, just to wrap this all out. He put Aries' character, overall character, hasn't really changed. He's still the same guy. He just fights heels now. His crowd reaction at Bound for Glory will be interesting since he's facing the most over babyface on the active roster, and the TNA's road shows tend to bring out fans who only recognize the big names and don't even watch Impact.
I changed
the type of service that I had when I got new roomie. I got a couple of coupons for like $5 or $10 off pay-per-views. So I was certainly debating using one for Bound for Glory just to see how that ended up turning out, since that's supposed to be their big thing for the year.
Sure. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I don't know which weekend that is, but if I'm not here, that might be a problem. But I think I'm going to be here that weekend.
Okay. Well, if you watch it, we can audio about it, and the world will be right. So.
Yep. Well, on that note, I'm going to go grab a sippy time beer, and I'm out.
All right. Well, for Kevin DeFrango, for conspiracy theories, and for general stupidity in the wrestling world, I am Dusty Keebink. This has been an unspecial edition of Stunt Granny Audio, and we'll try to do better next time. Yeah.